Beautiful worship. So lovely. A few weeks ago, I bought a new bedspread, and it's got blue palms on the bedspread. So I needed a new picture. And so I asked Melissa Wormsley, this is not an ad for the hub, but if you like, it can be. And she does some beautiful pictures that are framed, that are in the hub. And I asked her to, so I commissioned a picture from her, and it is a picture of palms. And the scripture that came that I asked her to put on it was Psalms 92:12, the first part of verse 12, which says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree." Now, I've heard this many times. I've read it many times. I don't know how many times. It's come up, and it, even just this week, it came up. And I began to ponder that because I'm putting it in our bedroom wall. It's like, okay, I need to actually have a look at this. What does this actually mean? I know what flourish means. I put my glasses on. It means to bloom. It means to thrive. It means to prosper. But a palm tree? I mean, when I think of something that is thriving, the palm tree does not come to mind straight away. So I would like to unpack this, because so many times we read a scripture, we hear a scripture, but we don't actually understand the fullness of what the Lord wants to say to you. And this is what I'd like us to do today, to actually unpack what is the relevance of the palm tree, and to flourish like a palm tree, and to actually take that on board and see what elements of that you can take on into yourself to begin to flourish, to truly flourish like a palm tree. So a little bit of background about a palm tree. The palm tree that's mentioned in the Bible, which actually is mentioned over 40 times, is the date palm. The palms that grow down at Bagara are coconut palms, I believe. These date palms grow up to 23 metres high, and they live from about 100 to 200 years old. The palm fronds in scriptures are often mentioned in to do with the Feast of Tabernacles, building of booths. So during the Feast of Tabernacles, they would build a little sanctuary, a little building that was the booth, represented the booth, and they would spend time during the Feast of Tabernacles in their booth that they had created with palm fronds. Also in the temple of Solomon, the Solomon's temple, the woodwork had palm pictures of palm trees. So I've gone through this study, and I've come up with 7 points that I wanted to share with you, and I just pray that it will be a blessing to you, and that you can take some food. It can be nourishing to you, and you can actually take hold of some points here. So first of all, the palm trees, they're not what you would call majestic. I love jacarandas. I have seen majestic-looking jacarandas. They're one of my favourite trees. The gum trees, I've seen awesome-looking gum trees, and I would call them majestic. They're memorable. And there are many, many other trees. You know, the trees down in Tasmania, Western Australia, and we have had some absolutely awesome trees here in Queensland that the forestry used for timber. They were, the girths on them were huge. And so they are trees that I would call majestic. But not so the palm tree. I would not call it majestic. In fact, it can be quite insignificant. When you drive down to Bagara, the palm tree is not what I would straight away look at and go, wow, they're majestic. In fact, they can be quite invisible. And, you know, I relate that to us at times. We can feel like we're invisible. We can feel like we're insignificant. We can even feel like we're of no value. And but Jesus, it says in Isaiah 53, he was not majestic in appearance. It says he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. But Jesus knew why he was here. He knew who he was. And the Bible clearly tells us that we are not insignificant and we have a purpose. In 1 Peter 2:9 it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have an awesome testimony to share with this world. We are chosen, we are loved, and our purpose is to worship him and to proclaim him. So point number two, when the storms come, the palm tree is so flexible and bendable in the storms and the wind. Bagara has had some incredible cyclones cyclonic winds, and yet you go down there and there they are standing tall. How many are going right now through a storm, a cyclonic winds? How many are going through that right now? Put your hand up. Join. Yes. Many of us are going through cyclonic winds, but we have to learn how to be flexible and bendable in the storms. So how do we do this? How do we weather the storms? How do we be flexible? Jesus said that we would all face the storms of life. In Psalms 125, it says, those who trust in the Lord. So let's have a look. I'll read the rest of the verse, but let's have a look at what does it mean to trust. Now, you've been sitting in your chairs for a little while, and while you've been sitting there, you haven't been thinking, is this chair going to collapse under me? Is one of these legs weak? Is it actually going to be cracking and I'm going to end up on the floor? Not one of you have thought about it. You've happily sat down in your chairs, totally trusting that chair to hold you for the whole service. And that is the trust that we need to place in Jesus, that we can sit in his arms and know he's got us, and we can rest in him. The rest of the verses I want to share, those who trust in the Lord are as unshakable, as unmovable as mighty Mount Zion. Just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord's wraparound presence surrounds his people, protecting them now and forever. Wraparound presence. What does that actually look like? I'd like us just to take a few seconds now. I'd like you to just close your eyes and picture the wraparound presence of the Lord wrapping his arms around you as like a shawl. Picture a shawl being wrapped around you. His holy presence. His wraparound presence. So we focus on Jesus and not on the storm. Every night, in the last few weeks, as I lay my head on the pillow, I picture his wraparound presence, and I've had the best sleep in months. I've had the best sleep nearly every night for months as I picture Jesus' wraparound presence holding me and his peace, and that I can trust him. Number three, every part of the palm tree is used. The leaves to cover homes, to make baskets, the seeds for feed for camels in drought, the fruit, the dates, are produced in abundance, and they have a long shelf life. It is so productive, this tree, and the timber, the trunk, the tree is used for timber as well. It says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Psalm 16:5 says, you, Lord, are all I have, and you give me all I need, and my future is in your hands. Isaiah 6:8 says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. You know, many of us, well, we all have gifts. God has given us gifts. But the thing is, he wants us to use all of us, our hands, our feet, our ears, every part of us, to serve him in whatever capacity the Lord gives to us, every opportunity that he gives to us. All of us, every part of us, like the palm tree, to be used for his glory and to his honor, for his purposes. I have a friend who, her name's Joan, lives in Moore Park, and she doesn't get out very much at all. But one of the things she has done, she has this massive, big prayer book. It's massive. And she has names in there, and she has prayer requests in there. And they are actually everybody who has rung her. Telstra, any scams, anybody that she has got somebody ringing her has been a blessing to her, because she has asked them for their name, she's told them she's a Christian, she believes in the power of a prayer, and have you got a prayer request? Have you got something I can pray for you? She has got a massive book of people's names that she has been praying for and continues to pray. So every opportunity we are given, we do it to the glory of Jesus. Number four, the trunk of the palm does not have an outer bark. It is the same right through. Most trees have an outer layer, a bark. And in life too, you know, we go through traumas in life. We go through difficulties in life. People hurt us, and we can put up layers. You know, we can have a heart of stone, but the Lord wants to bring healing. He wants us to have a heart of flesh. He wants us to remove the bark, to remove the layers. He wants us to be so immersed in him, in his love, in his presence, through the word, through worship, through prayer, through relationship with Jesus. We become transparent. We begin to reflect Jesus. The more we immerse in him, we begin to be like him. Romans 8:29 says, God has predestined his people to be conformed to the image of his Son. point five. Palm trees bring up images of rest. Now, if you see a tropical scene, you see a beach, you see the sun setting, you see a couple of palm trees, and in between a hammock, and hopefully me lying in there resting. It conjures a picture of rest when you think of palm trees. Exodus 15 speaks of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, a miracle in itself. The Egyptian army was pursuing them. Their hearts must have been really pounding as these thousands and thousands and thousands of Israelites crossed the Red Sea. In verse 27, it says, after 3 days, after they had crossed the Red Sea, they came to a place called Elim and rested under the palms. The Israelites had left Egypt behind. They crossed the Red Sea and they rested under the palms for 14 days. We too need to let go of Egypt. We've got to let go of the past. We've got to let go of things that are holding us back. Anything that's causing division, anything that is causing a division between brothers and sisters, you've got to let it go. You're holding on to things. It will not help you to move forward in the things of God. So are there things that you are still holding on to? Strongholds. They begin to build strongholds. They begin to weigh us down from moving forward. And it is time to take the heavy load off and give it to Jesus and exchange it. Psalm 62 says, my soul finds rest in God alone, and my salvation comes from him. Matthew 11 says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, I'd like us to do an activation here right now. So if there is anything that you are holding on to, if you've got a situation or a person that you are either praying for, interceding for, or struggling, a situation that you are struggling with, I would like you to take some time right now and hand it over to Jesus, because it doesn't belong to you. We have to let go. So I'd like us right now, just close your eyes, picture that situation, the person, and just say, Jesus, I hand him over to you. I hand this situation to you. Only you are the Saviour. Only you are the healer. Only you know what's best here. And I hand it over to you. In Jesus' name. And the exchange that we receive is peace. The exchange we receive is rest. At the beginning of last year, in January 2023, I asked the Lord for a word, and I actually shared it here last year, or shared it in our old building over at the high school in January 2023. And the Lord at the time said that there would be a shaking and a realignment. And then I asked the Lord again this year for a word for him for this year. And this is the word that he gave to me. I said at the beginning of your year, this is the Lord. I said at the beginning of your year in January 2023 that there would be a shaking and realignments. you have felt and seen. This is my doing. I allowed these things to take place to show, to reveal the hidden things, the things that I could see, the heart issues that people keep hidden until there is a catalyst that reveals where the person really stands with me. Are they walking in the flesh or are they walking in my spirit? So much of the reactions and responses of my people are born in the flesh and does not reflect my love. I call my people to surrender. Lay on the altar your egos, your justifications, your pride, and allow my work of healing come into these places where the world, people have caused you such hurt and pain that you respond with such self-righteousness. It is not the way of my love. It is not my way of peace. You have become the great I am and forgotten to kneel before me, the great I am who died for you, who surrendered all for you and gave my all for you so that we can be one. I call you, my people, to surrender all that is contrary to my ways and to come up higher. Come up higher, for I love you and beckon you to dwell in my secret place where you will receive your peace from me. Drink deeply of my love, for I love you dearly and desire for you to walk in all that I have for you. God wants us to walk in victory and triumph. Point number six is, palms represents the coming king. John 12:12-13 said, they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. The palms were thrown on the ground in front of Jesus as he entered Jerusalem. It represented victory and triumph. Jesus' journey to the cross and resurrection was a journey of victory, not only for himself but for us. And because of what Jesus has done for us, he has made a way for us also to walk in victory and triumph. Praise God. Amen. And then the seventh point, the last point, the roots of the date palm spread wide. I'm going to read from Revelation 7:9 that pictures heaven, and this is where we'll be. And after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, every tribe, people, and language standing before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out, that's us, white robes with palm leaves, palm branches. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Woo! We not only know where we're going, but you know what? We're taking people with us. We're taking people with us, no matter where you are or what your situation is. You have opportunities of sharing Jesus and sharing his love just by your presence. The anointing is on you. We are atmosphere changers here. Do you believe it? Yes. Woo. So what have we learned from palms? We are not insignificant, but we are chosen and cherished. We have a purpose. We are flexible in the storms of life by putting our trust in Jesus. And we walk in truth and light and in his love. We reflect Jesus and totally surrender to God, all of me, and learning to rest in God and leaving the past behind. Living in the triumphant victory of Jesus, we are spreading the gospel to all nations and peoples. And now I'd like to just end with Psalm 92. From the Passion Translation, it says, "Yes, look how you've made all your lovers." We are his lovers. "Look how you've made all your lovers to flourish like palm trees, each one growing in victory, standing with strength. You've transplanted them into your heavenly courtyard. We stand in the heavenly places with the Lord, and where they are thriving before you. For in your presence they will overflow and be anointed. We overflow in his presence as we sit with him, as we surrender all to him. We become more and more like him. And we are anointed. Even in their old age, they will stay fresh." Yay! I'm 70, so I'm taking hold of that one. "They stay fresh, bearing luscious fruit and abiding fruitfully. Listen to them. With pleasure, they will proclaim, 'You're so good.'" No matter what your circumstance is, "You're so good. You're my beautiful strength, and you've never made a mistake with me." We need to proclaim that over our lives. "With pleasure, they will proclaim, 'You're so good. You're my beautiful strength. You've never made a mistake with me.'" God bless.